As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Welcome. This is Mike Young and Love My Renovation Project. I got to tell you, where most 2 or 3 Ks go fine without a hitch, there's always one or two now and then that give you fits. When I have a lender and they're doing their very first 203K and they're having nothing but problems, I remind them that they're going to have problems. About 1 in 100 is going to give you a problem. Just recognize that. Realize the next 99 are going to be fine. Love My Renovation Project is all about renovation and talking about renovation issues that might come up. Consult up there if you've got an interesting story you'd like to share with us. Feel free to call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free and ask your renovation question or tell us your story. There's lots of interesting projects out there that we've done over the years, and we just keep sharing them. Homeowners, if you've got a question you'd like to ask about the 203K program, feel free. Investors, we have several programs for you. So lots of times we don't understand how an investor can buy a property with the 203K, but they can if it's done properly and they're within the unit. So if you have a topic you'd like to discuss in a more specific terms and don't want to be on the radio, feel free to go to 203konline.com. Send us a message. If you have a problem, 203K, you're trying to get it solved, feel free to go to 203K91 and share with us that problem. Happy to help you if we can. So today we're going to start off with what happens when a 203K loan goes sideways? You know, I've got one went sideways recently, but we're not talking about that one. We hear all kinds of stories, and everyone wants to lay blame on someone else. Of course, when these loans go sideways, and sideways, some do.
One of our associates in New Jersey called and had a client that was ready for their first draw inspection. They said they had about $30,000 that they were ready to get funds for. But when he got out to the site, not one thing on his scope of work was completed. Nothing on the draw request could be filled out. Apparently, when the owner got to the house right after the loan closed, she said, "Hey, throw that out the door. Here, we're going to do this different renovation." And she proceeded and instructed the contractor to make all these other changes and expected us to just bow and take it. Well, in case you haven't heard, HUD is the 10,000-pound gorilla in the room, and you don't do that to HUD. I asked the consultant, "How much did you actually pay them then if nothing was done on your list?" And his answer was nothing. I couldn't pay them anything. Isn't that right? Absolutely right. So you must do what's on the scope of work. That's what the appraiser expects to see when they go out to the completed project and look at their final inspection. The same inspector called me in New Jersey a week later with the same issue. Another client did the same thing. These clients must have known each other. I don't know. Contractor said that when he got to the job, the owner says, "Scrap all that work. We're going to do something entirely different." Well, no, you aren't. Not with our money from the FHA guaranteed loan. So you got to be careful. The homeowner signed two places that I know of that they agreed not to make any changes to the architectural exhibits, no changes to the scope of work. And when they do, it's not for us to pay it. Changes to the scope of work have to come through your consultant slash and lender and get approved prior to making those changes. Otherwise, you don't have to pay for them. So just be real careful and stick to the game plan. If you have some changes you'd like to make, we have a client right now that has a triplex. The unit she was going to move into is still occupied a year later, 9 months later. And she had to change the unit designation that she wanted to live in and has done that. And we're renovating it now to her liking. But the other unit, the tenants are not cooperating, apparently. They have no intention of moving out at this point. She's going to have a hard eviction there. But getting back to this, we go to great lengths to ensure this doesn't happen. HUD thought they did, but it's interesting that when HUD tells the borrower they can't make changes in the borrower's acceptance of conditions, and again in the borrower's acknowledgement, they notify the borrower that no changes in the scope of work will be allowed without going through the lender. The contractor has, however, isn't notified properly, in my opinion. So as part of our consultation, we, in the bid specifications in line item 35, we put 8 or 9. In fact, I think we just added 2 more notes. There's 10 notes there. Now, if you're a consultant and would like to know what those notes are, feel free to ask us. We're happy to share that. But note 8 clearly states the contractor nor the homeowner have the right to change the specifications of repair without prior written authorization from the lender and the consultant, the contractor and the homeowner, their agents, and their agents certify and agree that they have read these specifications of repairs in its entirety and hereby agree to its terms, conditions, procedures, policies, dimensions, and pricing, and hereby release the consultant from liability from any possible future damages that may occur. We always bring this to the clients as part of our consultation, our initial consultation. We go over all of those forms that the lender is supposed to provide to the borrower in time for them to read and understand all these things prior to close of escrow. So if you're having trouble with this, one of the biggest issues is brought on by borrowers when they want to keep the loan amount as low as possible, yet will hire the contractor secretly and on the side to do a lot more work on their project. That additional money they were putting down could have increased their down payment and possibly got them to a home-style loan and saved the PMI, the monthly payment. In California, quite often our loans, I've got a construction project of $525,000 going on right now, as you can see. So the entire loan amount was something like $679,000. So the PMI is over $500 a month. And had you put the money down, it could easily tip the scale and get you out of the PMI and into a home-style renovation, possibly. Keep us in mind if you need our assistance, 203k911.com. Anyway, with all the technical difficulties, and I do apologize for that today, we're going to take a short break. Please call in at 627-6008, toll free to be part of the show. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203k911.com now and let's fix your problems.
Hey, are we back? We are back. I just say, I made some notes. I have some pet peeves, and I thought I'd share a couple of them with you, just two short ones. Don't you love it when people call you late at night, like after 9 o'clock, and you answer the phone? Yeah, I do. I just think it's great. They didn't expect you to answer the phone, but here you are, and they don't know what to say. Oh, I was going to leave a message. Email is great for that. And this internet security lately is just getting to be so much work. I log on. I'm trying to do an email on this Microsoft 365. I'm into the email Outlook, and I'm typing right in the middle of my letter or my email. All of a sudden, a pop-up window pops up. It says, you click here to log out. You need to log in again. And I'm thinking, couldn't I do that after I finish my email? Who knows? Anyway, let's get back to where we are. I was an investor for years. I see these investors. I like to go to the REIA, the meetings when I can, Real Estate Investment Association. They're all over the country. I've got a client right now that's wanting to invest in real estate, so I suggested that they go to one of these meetings, REIA, California, and you can do a search and get a list of about 30 of them, four or five of them in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. But wherever you are in the country, there's likely a REIA group right there close to you. It's a great place to meet a wholesaler and find some properties that you can buy at under market prices. So now I'm an investor. Yes, you can buy properties all cash, but we can show you, if you want to be an investor, you want to buy more than one at a time quite often. You know, your 10 at a time are nice, but at least two to three or four at a time are entirely possible if you'll let the system work for you. If you're an investor and you have been paying all cash for the renovations and all cash for the purchase, you may want to talk to one of our lenders and get a hold of them, talk to them about the Homestyle renovation project or program, because it will handle investors. You can flip properties with that loan. You can buy multiple properties. They're typically single-family houses, and I think that's what you're primarily involved in. They're the easiest to sell, easiest to unload. But by doing it through a lender, you can now take the money you are using to buy one house and actually buy three or four houses at the same time. So check with your lenders that do the Homestyle renovation loan if you need a list of them. That we have, that we work with on a daily basis, give us a call. You know, we work a lot with Bill Young at American Pacific Mortgage. He's their national sales development person. And Tom Huntley over there at Homebridge in Santa Rosa. But these guys are familiar with these other loans and can help you. How can investors get out of properties once they buy and rehab using conventional means? Well, what I found when I go to the REIA meetings is quite often these investors, as you step into the room and turn right or left, there's a pegboard there or a pin board where they've got pictures of the houses they just renovated. And they're offering them to other investors in the room to purchase and keep, I guess, because that's not the best place to sell your houses. Why would you not list them on that multiple listing service and let the realtors do their job? Quite often, the realtors are telling me there's no properties. We have nothing to sell, nothing to show. Well, that's because you're not massaging the REIA group. Get in there, talk to those people, let them know why you think you can move that property faster than they can. What we used to do is actually move our properties before they were finished. As soon as we purchased one, we immediately put it up for sale as though it was completed. And if we get a borrower or a buyer for our property early enough, they can pick the colors, they can pick the finishes. We can make it their home very nicely. Now, I've bought and sold over 300 fixers in my career. So if you have questions about the process, we're happy to work with you and explain what we do know. I will tell you this, that I met a homeless man in 1989. When I was working in North Richmond, or Richmond proper, downtown, trying to help a friend of mine, an ex-pro football player, Travis Williams. Travis and I went to high school together and knew each other. I heard he was homeless, so I went down, found him, and we put three houses together and gave them to him for the homeless. We put six people in each house, and one of those people that we put into one of those houses, I showed him how to buy houses. I took him with me and bought some houses with no money down. He actually, the lender paid me cash to fix them up. And they did it in draws, okay? They did it two draws, one up front, second one when the project was finished. So that's a pretty good way. But I ran into him in 2004 when I was doing an appraisal on a fourplex. It turned out to be one that he had just purchased. And he recognized me after we talked for a while, and he shared that he had just been paid $57,000 by a lender, and we had done so much work together, the lender just hands him the check for the entire $57,000. Wow. He confessed that he was a millionaire and owned a half a dozen fourplexes free and clear now, and had shown three other people how to do it. Well, I asked him if he paid me back, and that's when he said, yes, I paid you back three times, because when I show you how to do something, I expect you to show somebody else how to do it. Worst thing you could do is be secretive and try to do them all yourself. There are too many properties for you to do every one yourself. So share the wealth. Spread the wealth. But it's so gratifying for me to see somebody actually put these principles together and be successful. And this young man was not only successful, I was so proud to have met him and shown him how to do this, because he showed three and required each of them to show three, and two of them have already paid him back. So that's pretty cool. Let's see where we are now. Let's see, back to renovation loans. We have done several projects in Berkeley, California, where basements were converted to living area. Very popular thing. Berkeley is also known as Berserkly. A lot of crazies there, but they have rent control, and it's very, very tough to get out of it. If you have a unit and you're buying it to live in it, you may have problems. If it's vacant, you might not, but if it's occupied, you can't take a rental unit out of production without putting a rental unit in production somewhere else in the city. It could even be on that property. You can add a unit. But recently we did converted a couple of houses in Berkeley where they converted the basements to living area. One of them, they were just adding to their living area for their home, and they added several bedrooms downstairs. The problem is these are really basements, and you have to have egress. You have to have a way out. So when you measure from the floor to the bottom of that window, it has to be at least 45 inches. Excuse me, it has to be no more than 45 inches. So it used to be 47, used to be 48, but In some cases, these are 64 inches off, and you have to build a window well outside and drop that window down so people can get out in an emergency. We had one in Vallejo a while back that when I went through the house with the client, I noticed that two of the bedrooms, well, all three of the bedrooms had windows that were 64 inches from the floor. One of those bedrooms, and the only one he was going to use as a bedroom, also had a second window that met the egress situation. So that was okay. But the other two windows, he said, it's just me. I live here by myself. I don't have children. I don't have a need to convert those other two bedroom windows and make those living areas, make those bedrooms sleeping areas. So his instructions to me were, this is a studio, this is my library, and I don't want to change those windows. I informed him up front that that is probably not going to fly, and he probably should go check with the building inspection department and see just how they're going to respond to that. Well, he didn't, but demanded that they not be fixed. He liked the high ceilings for his people, making it harder for people to see in and see his computers or so forth. So, well, sure enough, it didn't happen until the final draw. We're doing the fifth and final draw when the building inspector walks through one last time and he catches it. He catches it and says, I want those two windows brought down with proper, you know, put in larger windows, make it so the egress is meets current standards. He went to the city hall. He went to city council people and tried to get it changed. Nobody was willing to listen to him, and he had to change it. So as consultants, we need to be insistent. If we know that repair is going to be required, then we need to be insistent. We need to make sure that they're following to create the minimum property standards. The fact that he wasn't going to use that, was a single man living by himself, doesn't matter. The house has to meet minimum property standards. There is a book on minimum property standards on the HUD website. You can type in HUD.gov minimum property standards and you should pop that up. But some things are clearly must repairs and not optional repairs. So we recommend that you follow those rules and get it done right the first time. One of our lenders called me last week asking if I knew a consultant they had recent experience with. I did not know him. But apparently they hired him to do a work write-up, which includes a paragraph describing the property, another section describing what's going to be done to the property, a third section with a synopsis and all your costs, who the players are, contractor's full name, address, and license number, a consultant agreement. Sometimes the newer consultants like to call it an allowable fees agreement, but HUD calls it a consultant agreement. A property inspection report, not a home inspection. Or a home inspection if they've agreed to pay for the upgrade. Draw inspection forms, recap. But this guy had no agreement. All he had was an SOR, just the scope of work. This is all I'm supposed to do, he said. I told the lender, I said, send that over here and we'll create the rest of the forms you need at no cost. The SOR is not your sole responsibility. Read the guideline. The 4000.1 is very specific. It tells you exactly what you're supposed to do as a consultant. You have to make that inspection of the property to see what needs to be fixed. And that inspection needs to be in writing and turned in. And we need to have the disclaimer saying this is not a home inspection. It is a property inspection for the purposes of determining what needs to be repaired. Our group, the Mike Young team, or my 203K team, we provide a lot more for our lender clients, and it's so fun when I hear them calling and saying, "Hey, what can we do here? This, we buy your product because, on a national basis, because your clients, your consultants are consistent and they put in a finished product that meets our requirements and saves our loan officers time over and over again." Well, that's why the lenders like our services so much better than the competition. We do more for them automatically than our competition is able to do. Lenders who've never used our services before typically say, "Wow, you're doing some of my work here. In fact, you're going to save me an hour to an hour and a half." I'm sorry, but we do like to spoil our clients. Gina recently, a brand new lender, did her first 203K a month or so ago. She asked when she started, "What can I do to close these fast?" I told her to concentrate on your 203B portion of the loan. Let the team concentrate on their respective jobs. And she closed her first full 203K in 30 days with no pressure. While three other lenders who've been with us for years placed orders on the same day and took 45 days to close. Why? Why do some lenders take 45 to 60 days and some longer to close escrow? One is because they're trying to get into everybody else's business. I can't tell you how important it is. Let the team function. You know, could you imagine a major ball player having to answer questions all through the game before he makes a shot? Well, what are you going to do now? Where are you? Well, I'm running down the court, or I'm running down the field. I can't talk right now as he gets tackled. All right, so let your team function, and you'll find that you'll close these things much faster. HUD requires loan officers to provide some information to the borrowers in advance, in time for them to read and understand those contracts prior to signing at the close of escrow. Most, I would say, don't do that at all. Many of them do it through corporate, and corporate will send out a packet with all these contracts in it. Well, they don't usually, when they do that, they say, "Here," and they hand them a bunch of other papers too, so they got about an inch thick or a half inch thick packet of papers. Be sure and read all this before it closes escrow. You need to read and understand it all. How in the world can they? They're overwhelmed. There's just too much there. So as our consultants that we train go out to that job, we teach them how to take those forms with them and literally go over those forms as part of our consultation. I tell you, it really saves a lot of headaches during the course of construction. Our New Jersey story earlier, where the homeowner and contractor decided to change the entire scope. Well, what do we do there? We tell the homeowner when we're doing that consultation, right here in the borrower's acknowledgement and again in the borrower's acceptance of conditions, you cannot make changes in your scope of work. So, my engineer is yelling at me or waving at me frantically. Yes, we've gone over a little bit. Please call us when we get back at 888-627-6008. Be part of the show. Share some of your problems. And we'll be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
Thinking of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com, and you'll be glad you did.
Hey, Welcome back. This is Mike Young. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. I challenge anybody out there that's a consultant to call in and talk about some of your fun projects that you've had over the years. But anyway, getting back to here, we do that to protect our lender clients. If the lender client doesn't put those pages out in time for them to read and understand before it closes escrow, then they're violating the guideline. So we back them up by going over those pages with the client and literally reading the most common misunderstood parts of those paperwork so that we can be sure our clients do, in fact, understand what it is they're going to be signing. Does every project go smoothly? No, certainly not. But by reading those paragraphs to the client, and then on the SOR, by putting that statement as the last line item in our notes that tells the contractor, you or the homeowner don't have the right to change the scope, we feel we've done our part to help see that that doesn't happen. And it really is fun when the contractor or the homeowner calls us and says, look, there's a change that we'd like to make. Here it is. First thing we do as consultants is ask the contractor to provide a bid for those changes so that we can look at those changes and determine if his bid is reasonable. If his bid is not reasonable, then we can negotiate before he does the work. It's really difficult to negotiate a price after the work has been completed. So I recommend that if you're going to do that, get the price, get the bid first, and then let's talk about the change. The lender's not going to have a problem as long as that change enhances the value of the property dollar for dollar spent. Okay, so the value goes up for a dollar for every dollar spent. And that's easy to do. If you're adding a new wood deck, that'll probably do it. A patio cover, any of those kind of things are pretty easy to get accepted. Now, this is not fun when they don't do it. I've got one right now where the client decided to put in a on-demand water heater. Say again.
Carlos on line one.
Oh, go ahead and bring him on in.
Carlos?
We have a caller. Carlos?
Hello.
Are you there?
Hello.
Hey, Carlos, yes. How are you?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Good.
I was real happy to run across your show today. I was just on the internet looking up stuff about blog talk shows, and it just so happened that I'm dealing with a 203K issue, and so I decided to call in and ask you a few questions, see if you could give me some advice.
Oh, well, let's see if we can make that happen. What questions do you have for us?
Okay, well, my fiance was selling her home in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It has considerable issues with it, roofing issues. We got an offer to purchase it about 90 days ago. And, that's when we first heard it was 203K. The guy was doing 203K, and when we got to 60 days, which was his timeline for closing the deal, he came back and the lender came back and asked for another 30 days, asked for an extension, and said that they were pretty sure that the deal was going to close. And now we hit that deadline, and they're saying that he didn't get his loan.
Did they say why?
They said that he didn't. They denied him the loan.
Interesting. Okay.
And yeah, it was interesting. you know, there was some speculation that maybe he falsified something on the application or didn't follow some procedure. And, you know, we're looking to get compensated out of his escrow for that. You know, we asked for a portion of his escrow, and he feels that he doesn't owe us anything, and, you know, it's not his fault.
Are you represented by a realtor?
Yes, I am represented by a realtor.
Okay. He would probably be the one, or she would be the one to talk to about that, because I don't know all of what contract clauses you added to that. And typically, if they didn't add something special for damages, then it's very hard to get it. But that's not really a 203K issue. That's just a general real estate issue that happens. We just had one where we were selling a house, and as we sold the house, they wanted an extension, and we said, okay, you're going to have to put up a $5,000 non-refundable deposit. They agreed and put it up, and then for one reason or another, the deal fell apart. We handed them the $5,000 back because we had a second buyer right there ready to buy. So,
okay,
but it's could have kept that.
So so we're looking into that, and we're going to pass it on to our lawyer and let them look at it. And you know, if there's no harm, or you know, they didn't do anything that caused it not to go through, then of course we'll refund them. We'll sign off the release for the deposit.
Yeah.
But we just want to have it checked out and make sure that it wasn't something they do. I heard one thing about him turning in false tax returns and a couple other things that I can't prove at this point, but that'll come out in discovery. So here's the thing. The realtor said, well, look, why don't you just give me, you know, release his money and put it back on the market? Well, I'm talking about a house with a serious roofing issue. So it's been raining like crazy here in the Northeast. And so during this 3 months, the house has even suffered more damage than it was, you know, at the time that he was going to purchase it or make the offer. At this point, I'm not feeling very confident about putting it on the market and maybe having it fall through again. So I have been thinking about purchasing it and doing the 203K loan myself. So actually purchasing it from my fiance and doing a 203K loan so we can get the house to a good condition, which will, I'm thinking will fetch a better price on the market.
I don't know that you need to do that. All you have to do is let your fiance refinance the house as a 203K and get the money to fix it up, and then you'll be selling it all fixed up.
Yeah, at this point, I'm the main one with income. She has quite a bit of equity in the house, but I would really have to get the loan. Send me an email or
call me after the show, and I'll give you the name of some lenders that can walk you through that. But we got to be careful and disclose anything like that, because it's more like a refi than it is a purchase, only because of your relationship with the seller.
Right.
So you want to be sure to fully disclose that to the lender.
Yeah, I want to be transparent about it, but we're actually not married yet, so I'm assuming legally it's not an issue.
Okay. Right. Where do you live now? You both have the same address? And is it this house?
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's going to send up a red flag, and the lender probably should catch it anyway. But it's better just to be up front with your lender, and they'll show you what you have to do to disclose it. Once you disclose it, I don't think it's a problem.
Okay, all right. And do you have people that work in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia area?
I've got about 8 or 10 consultants that do work for us there, absolutely. And then we've got lenders. Each of them has a lender, the favorite lender. So we can find you the whole package if you like. Or help
I can give them my email. And
No, don't give it over the phone. You can give it to
Don, the engineer, after he takes you off the line.
Okay, we'll do that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Carlos. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
All right, you're welcome.
Okay, talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Okay, does every project go? Oh, we have one right now where the borrower decided to purchase. Oh, my goodness, before we get into that, I see we're right at our break time. So we're going to, if anybody else wants to call in and talk, 888-627-6008. Toll free to be part of the show. We'll be right back after a very short break. Stay tuned.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203k911.com. We know what to do.
Welcome back. If you want to call in and be part of the show, 888-627-6008. We were talking about a client recently who forgot all about the rules about ordering things done without going through the proper channels. We have a client who ordered in an on-demand water heater. It was outside our scope. She didn't feel we needed to be told. She forgot all about the paperwork that we went over and told her that she couldn't do that. Contractor knew better, though. He knows the rules. He's been doing a lot of 203Ks over the years, and he should have known better. And he signed a paper saying he wouldn't do that. It's in the scope of work. Well, they added it. Where did they add it? Now, typically, we put up that big box on the side of your house and then run the water lines. He could have been easily put just outside the kitchen wall where it would not be seen. Or we put it in the basement. Or we put it in the laundry room. There's a lot of places it could have been put, installed. Where did they install it? To my surprise and shock, when I walked into a small unit, a rental unit, from the living room, you go into the dining room, and you step into the kitchen, and this thing hits you in the face. It's immediately inside the kitchen door on the left. Cabinets are on the right. Why would you put it in that location? It is beyond me. And they said, well, we need to get paid for this. And I said, no, you don't get paid for that. What? You didn't ask me beforehand. And I damn sure wouldn't have let you install it right there in the middle of the kitchen, so that you lose a cabinet space or you have to see that ugly monstrosity in your kitchen every time you walked into it. And you had to run extra plumbing to get it over here, where if you'd have put it on the outside wall just 4 feet away, on the outside, you'd have been running those pipes under the kitchen cabinets and tying this whole thing in that way. So we're having a little difficulty communicating. And I think it's going to get easier to communicate once they realize we aren't obligated to pay for it. in any way, shape, or form. Now, let's see. We had a consultant call in this week and ask about his project. Consultant was called out to do a 203K write-up. The bid they had was for $49,000. Another contractor who didn't want to waste his time asked a question in front of the consultant to the borrower and says, do you qualify for $49,000? She got very indignant, he said, and said, well, of course I do. So the second contractor put his bid together, and he actually came in lower. I don't know how much lower, but let's say he came in at $45,000. So now he's put his bid together. It comes closer to the consultant's bid. So what's happened so far? Consultant made a trip out to the site, inspected it, consulted with the client. So he spent an hour or two at the site. Then he went home and wrote up this thing to his office and wrote it up, put prices to it, compared them to the second contractor's bid. Everything is looking good. She added more work and, oh, this is where it goes south. At that point, she changed a lot of things. She revised her scope of work substantially. She added more work when the second contractor came in at less money. She added more work so that consultant was asked to go ahead and wrap up the work write-up, so he did. He added the additional things. Then he wrote a text to Mrs. Johnson explaining it. By the way, Mrs. Johnson is not her name, so don't go looking for Mrs. Johnson. I was doing the work, and she said, at this point, the lender says the loan has been declined. You do not qualify for that amount. And the homeowner called the consultant and said, I'm not going through with the loan. I don't qualify for the loan. So the first response is, well, let's take it back to the $45,000 bid you have without those new things. She said, no, they told me I don't even qualify for that now. So the second contractor that bid the job actually seemed to know what was going on. He asked, do you really qualify for $49,000? Yes. Okay, great. But in fact, she didn't. So she didn't know that. There, if you go to my site, 203konline.com, and scroll down near the bottom, there's some PDFs. One of them is procedure. We don't want to talk to a client at the job site until they have been pre-qualified by a lender. So that procedure will tell you the first thing you do is get a lender and get that part of the equation fixed. Make sure everybody knows exactly what you qualify for, and we'll go from there. Apparently, that didn't happen. So no matter where you come into the equation, you want to be sure and send them back to the lender and get that part done up front early in the game, so that we can move forward and not have this surprise us at the end of the game. So we've had a good day today, had a nice caller. Appreciate that, Carlos. Next week, 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, we'll be back. Look forward to talking to somebody new. Maybe Carlos can bring us an update. So anyway, have fun, enjoy your week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.